You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Smells like middle-aged spirit.
From the Chris Wesseling Podcast Studio, my name is Greg Rosenthal. In a room stuffed with heroes here, we've got Mark Sessler, Patrick Claibon, and for the first time in the Chris Wesseling Podcast Studio, one of the most powerful men in the NFL who roots for one of the most powerful teams, the Miami Dolphins.
That's right.
It's Henry Hodgson.
Correct on the second count, not the first count.
Well, they're right at the top of the news. Maybe we'll just dive right in there here. That's why you're here, Henry. But you should have been here before. It is nice to have people here in the podcast, the Chris Wesseling Podcast Studio, for the first time.
It feels like home.
It does.
Beautiful to be here.
And Claibon back. We realized you hadn't even, I don't think, did a podcast with us until last week in the studio either.
Just continuing my mission to sit in all of these chairs.
I'm sick. I'm sick of like the Zoom podcast. Even when it's just me, you, and Dan doing it, Mark. And sometimes you got it because of life comes in, but that's not it.
I like the flexibility of it. I'm with you. It grew tired in what it was doing them from home. I like also Henry is wearing all these official badges today.
I know. Before we started, I said to Patrick, no one else is wearing this. Should I take them off? And he said, no, just so that we could have this conversation.
You know what happened?
Well, I just wanted you to be comfortable, like wanted to do.
Thank you.
I had my badge in my car, which I did just keep it for easy access to get in and out of the building, right? Yeah. And my car was broken into in my driveway. And I discovered like all my...
Wait, when?
Just like it was, a couple days ago, and like, my car it's a new lease car, so I have nothing in it. So the robber was clearly annoyed because like they rifled through the papers and they took nothing except my NFL badge.
No.
Yeah.
If they would have done this a month ago or like before the Super Bowl, that would have been an international incident.
Yeah. Been a problem. Right now, I'm not sure what they're aiming to do now, but
what if for the show later in the week or the TV show if that person shows up in your place?
Right. I saw this sketchy guy, middle-aged guy doing expenses and watching Ninjio at a random desk.
I mean,
Mark.
If he wants to do my share of work, I'd be absolutely fine with it.
I can't believe you buried that lead. You didn't even mention that to us. I feel like you've had your car broken.
I'm so unflappable that bring up.
That's happened more than once to you.
What?
Your car getting broken into.
No, once. No?
Okay. That was you, Henry, right? Wasn't your car broken into?
Maybe it was Wes. He left.
I've
he
had my car broken into.
Yeah, you
here.
Tweeted about this whole long
I had a
story.
Whole thing.
You had a whole car break
in. Let's not go down that road.
But
again.
You wearing the lanyard actually, lanyards, I should say, because Henry's got the ID and
the like,
close
beeping
contact
thing.
Beeping thing that shows if you're too close. Which you are right now to Claibon.
Yeah, inevitable.
Wes would have hated this setup because he famously refused to wear a lanyard because he thought it was a sign of the man winning.
Exactly. And you know what? I was in exactly the same camp. Never wore the lanyard in the old office.
Claibon,
and there was nothing else to go with.
Yeah, I will, in honor of Wes.
You don't do it either.
Drape the mic cable all the way around.
All the way around. Yeah. Just tighten it slowly
and
through
now
the show.
This episode's going to be titled Lanyard.
Right, it's Lanyard.
I do enjoy how Mark just floated it out there that there was a break-in and potential NFL identity theft. So when the random guy comes in the next couple of weeks and he's like, hey, I'm Mark Sessler.
Well, have you contacted security at the NFL?
Absolutely. I went through all the correct protocols.
Okay. That reminds me of another story where NFL security famously called me into an office because they were worried that Wes might have drowned.
Well, we can get into that story another time. Dan and I spent 8 hours driving around town looking for him.
We told the story on the podcast before, but yeah, that was a crazy story. And we was like, nope, I just got a text from Wes a few hours ago.
He was also, like, after we had been pursuing him, I'm not kidding, like, to the point where Dan and I hung out for 3 hours going to all the haunts that we knew of where Wes would go. Wes ultimately was just annoyed at Dan and I that we were had gone on the pursuit. He's like,
he was snooping
I'm fine.
Up.
It's like,
I'm an adult.
Like, Wes and Dan were like, what? Go check out every, like, dive bar on the west side. Oh, yeah, like, we're there. We're his best friends. We're going to do this. Greg, yeah, you're not needed.
We did it for Wes's friendship. No, you were on a different part of the case.
But, of course, Henry is here because the Miami Dolphins are front and center with the news. It has finally slowed down, I would say, the free agency frenzy. This was the big news item over the last 2 days, but otherwise it has quieted down.
That's a dangerous thing.
But I'm excited to talk about this Dolphins news, and so let's get into it, Ricky.
Arica really making stuff happen. Random conversation over a hibiscus cooler in the huddle. The next thing I am on this text chain.
That was Henry's text to our short-lived group text of this particular combination of our show.
That was beautiful.
That was
exactly
good producing.
How I speak as well.
That was great producing by Ricky. She saw Henry. She thought he'd be a great addition to the show, and it was a great idea because who better to talk about a Tyreek Hill trade and, oh, by the way, the Teron Armstead signing, the number one overall free agent on the top 101 on NFL.com also happened. But the Tyreek Hill trade is the headliner. It's the stunner. They gave up a lot to get him, Henry. They gave up a first round pick, a second round pick, 2 fourths, and a sixth. And oh, by the way, gave him the biggest contract ever, depending on how you want to measure it for a wide receiver, but certainly in terms of guaranteed money, it basically comes down to 25 a year for the next 3 years. They aren't going all in on this season, but they are going all in on Tyreek Hill and what the next few years of Tyreek Hill could be in this offense. What was your reaction as a Dolphins fan, Henry?
I was excited because the Dolphins have been trapped in you know, like 1997 for a long time in terms of the offense that they put on the field. And while every other team in the league seems to be, you know, like marching towards the next millennium, the Dolphins were definitely very stuck in the 90s. The best offensive player they've had in the last 20 years is Ricky Williams. And that's not exaggeration. That's nothing.
Come
that's
on.
They have not had, tell me a superstar they've had on offense.
Greg says that's Aronde Getz and Slander.
Ricky was good. I mean, I don't even know if Ricky was better than Reggie Bush as a Dolphin.
Reggie Bush had like 2 good years in Miami. But this
is
exciting.
True? That's sad. I would say Jalen Waddle would be then, but that's a bit of a projection.
That's a projection, right?
A bit, not much of one. I feel like I'm confident.
And exactly, and I think that's why I'm excited, because suddenly in the last couple of weeks, yes, Tyreek Hill's the headline, but they've added a ton of speed to that offense, and all of a sudden, and you've got Mike McDaniel, who I definitely believe can do something, and again, move that from 1997 to at least current times, and push the whole thing and make them exciting to watch. It hasn't been like the Dolphins, as a Dolphins fan, you've had to be like, yeah, but we've got a pretty good defense, and that's all you've been able to say for the last 20 years. And you've had some Jason Taylors and Zach Thomases and people to kind of support that. But right now, this is exciting because for the first time, I'm looking forward to them having the ball rather than trying to stop the team that has the ball.
Celine Dion's falling into you. All of 1997 catching strays from him today. My reaction was that this can work. Honestly, you have to add in the Teron Armstead circumstance to the entire situation, because he's anchored some of the best offenses in the football for the past 15 to 17 years, and it makes everything viable. Like, everything where you would say, oh, you know, the Dolphins have got some nice pieces, but I don't know if this all works with Teron Armstead there, even though Tua's left-handed, it works. Yep. It simply works because he's going to have the opportunity to be successful, regardless of whether or not you think he can do it. He will at least have the opportunity, which is more than a lot of quarterbacks can say. But listening to Ian and Mike talk about the pursuit of Tyreek Hill yesterday from the Jets and the Dolphins, it made me think about both Mike McDaniel and Robert Saleh being on the other sideline in Hard Rock Stadium, where Tyreek Hill is taking the dream of the rest of their life away. They'll be in banquets eating, you know, stale chicken, talking about the win and the Super Bowl and Jimmy G and everything coming back to Santa Clara. And that didn't happen specifically because of what Tyreek Hill can do on the
field.
And so they were traumatized, and they would like to have him on their team, ruining somebody else's life. And Mike McDaniel pulled it off.
It was very expensive.
Wait, can we talk about the elephant? You know, Ricky keeps showing an extreme close-up. Of Claybon.
The choker around the neck is just
wire
much.
Around her neck. Yeah, it's a little.
No, we'll keep tightening it.
I'll put it directly in my face.
It's a little distracting. It's a little too much for me.
Very tight one shot.
My.
He's so beautiful. I mean, right. We'd rather look at him than the rest of you guys.
No one is complaining.
It's just so tight.
This is one of the most handsome sides of our podcast table we've ever had with Henry Hodgson and Claybon.
Well, yeah, one part literally.
It definitely is. I mean, Dan is also very handsome, but that's the power combo of the two of you.
I that side's nice as well.
No, it is.
It's fantastic.
It's struggling. I love it. I think this is like reminds me of exactly what Shanahan did when he went to San Francisco from Atlanta. It was like use that first free agency period to bum rush and bring everyone in that fits your offense. And the Dolphins, if anything, have been active. They have been so focused on getting his offense up to speed, and it had to be the offensive line. I hope this doesn't give like Mike Wallace vibes, though, because the one thing about Tyreek Hill is like the Chiefs decided
not Mike Wallace.
No, I mean he is a completely different special player, but you're signing up for this part of his career at a massive price tag in an offense where I think the big issue could be the kind of player that Tua is. Like, he's not a deep ball passer. We know that. And so they're going to have to use Tyreek Hill, and that's where you do have trust in Mike McDaniel in a way that totally maximizes him if the quarterback isn't maybe a perfect fit. I mean, it's obviously, we all know it, an acid test season for Tua.
Yeah, I want to get back to the Jets in their offseason and the Chiefs and what's next. But when you look at McDaniel with this group and thinking about that Falcons team, for instance, that Kyle Shanahan had, that team was about speed. Wes loved that team. It was a really unique one because it was one of the first that kind of looked at it like, we need four receivers. Yep. Yeah, we got Julio. And in this case, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are both worthy of being called number one type of receivers. But we need four of them. And they've got Devontae Parker, who I think's a really useful
I think Devontae Parker will be within the next week. I think
gone.
Devontae Parker will be gone. They signed Cedric Wilson. I was sitting excited about Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, but why not have
Cedric
complimentary? Parker does something different than those guys. He's a physical, deep receiver.
But he does it at a cost. And I think if he's your fourth receiver, and he probably is the fourth receiver
Wilson
on that team.
Wilson would be fourth, I would say, yeah.
I think you might find Devontae Parker gone, and maybe they draft someone. It's a deep draft for receivers. Maybe they find that role at a cheaper price point.
But the thing is, the context on that cost has changed this offseason just a little bit. So it doesn't look as bad as it used to, considering, like, if you look elsewhere in the state, right, in terms of what Christian Kirk or like a Zay Jones are really getting, like, Devontae's not hurting you that
right. The receivers making 8, 9, 10, like, even Corey Davis's contract to me looks much better this year than it did a year ago. But that Falcons team was all about speed, like Taylor Gabriel, Tevin Coleman, certainly Sanu and Jones did different things. But when McDaniel talked about how Jaylen Waddle was going to have a great season at the combine, he was very clear about it. He's just like, there's no magic to it. It's just like, get your extremely talented players the ball as many times as possible. And that was what he was good at doing with Debo in San Francisco and his other playmakers in San Francisco and even the running backs in space in San Francisco. And I think they'll do a good job with Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert with that in Miami. You don't necessarily need guys going deep to take advantage of their speed. That was one of the things that Henry Ruggs, you know, was good at in college and was starting to get good at in the pros. You don't need to go deep to like take advantage of 4-2 right. speed. You need to get him the ball in space and have blockers in situations that they can make plays. And Waddle and Tyreek Hill to me are so similar in a lot of ways that I don't know, man. I don't know how you can exactly defend those guys because they both are going to be guys you would love to send two defenders towards.
But and then you've got Raheem Mostert, you've got Chase Edmonds, who are both some of the faster running backs in the league and who are great at running routes and catching the ball. You've got Mike Gesicki, who's a fast
tight end. I like Mike Gesicki. I forgot about him.
I think the whole package is great. The elephant in the room is Tua. And can he drive that car or is he going to crash it? And that's the question that needs to be answered over the next
Their draft situation, though, an offseason from now is fine.
Yep.
And so if they needed to make a change, they'd be in actually a really good place. So it's kind of, you know, I hate to think about Tua spending another campaign where there are all these sort of whisper ideas of who could replace him, that you dealt with that all last season.
Right. Well, he's going to face it this season. Teddy Bridgewater was asked in his press conference, were you told you were going to be the backup?
This?
And Teddy was like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not even saying this as a bit.
He said
he did not want to say what Mike McDaniel said to him, because I bet Mike McDaniel said, look, man, if you are clearly the best quarterback on the team, at some point, like, you're going to play, we're going to give you that opportunity.
Why wouldn't he say that?
Right.
Why wouldn't anybody say that?
Right.
Tua is not Baker Mayfield. He's not Carson Wentz. I don't think it matters. I honestly don't think it matters that it's like, oh, this guy came in and he might be better than me, so I'm bad now. I think it's a pointless idea. I think it's completely vapid. I think you're going to get from Tua what you get from Tua in the first place. But no defensive coordinator in America is going to say, oh, well, you know, if Jalen or Tyreek get behind us, then that's okay because Tua can't throw the ball that far. You still have to cover the guys.
Right, like, right.
You still have to have the people there. And as Hank mentioned, with Raheem Mostert doing what he can do, I think he's still over 5.5 yards a carry for his career.
And Edmonds. I love it, Chase Edmonds.
If you're backpedaling to have to be concerned about those guys, then you're going to be soft on the edges, and they're going to get you. I love
and any quarterback can throw it wide open. Tua Non got all up in their feelings because I sent a joke out about how the Dolphins are building up this powerhouse for Teddy. That was even before.
Well, I think you believe that.
No, it's a joke. I actually, and Henry knows this, I think I'm higher than consensus on Tua, how he's been so far and how he can be as a pro. I always thought he was going to be a bit of a slow burn in terms of the things that he does well are going to take time to develop. Mentally, I think he's going to get better and better. He's already so advanced in terms of going through his progressions, getting the ball out quickly, being decisive. Like, that's what Tua does well, and it doesn't pop off the screen. He's been compared to a Drew Brees, and Drew Brees wasn't popping off the screen early. I'm not saying he's going to get to that, but guys like that, guys like an Alex Smith who have to win a little differently, like, I think it takes them a little time to develop because they're not as talented. He's just not as physically talented, but he is excellent at quick game stuff. Like, I don't need to see anymore. He's already a mid-level-ish starting quarterback because he has a very clear strength, and I think that strength matches up very well with Mike McDaniel. It just happens to be like the same strength that Teddy has, essentially. They're very similar players, and Tua, I think, has a higher ceiling now because we've seen a lot of Teddy, and he might have like a slightly lower floor than Teddy, and you're going to get to see it because I think this offensive line will be better, not because of Teron Armstead only. You got to be as good as like your worst two or three guys because of the coaching. Offensive line, I think, is about coaching, and they've had terrible coaching, and I think the coaching will be better, and I think Tua is really set up to succeed. So calm down, Tua Non. I think you're going to be fine because he's going to be good.
I would just support you on that one, Tua Non. Greg is a closet Dolphins fan, has been for many years, was a big Ryan Tannehill supporter. Greg is a big
Brian Flores guy. I thought they were very watchable. Mark enjoyed that 2019 or 2020 Dolphins experience. You were into the Flores
team. Yes, I did.
at least we know who's calling the plays now.
I think that matters.
History.
That was a total hot mess, the way that they handled that. And 100%. And it got worse and worse because there was a third figure involved who was essentially working with Tua because the other two couldn't have a relationship.
The interesting thing is one of that three is still on the team coaching a position. So I don't know how he's going to be feeling about not calling plays or not.
Right. I'm putting a lot into McDaniel just like being good and just like assuming – oh yeah, he's the next Shanahan, or like he's gonna be the next LaFleur and McVay.
Oh yeah,
like you still gotta do that. You gotta overcome what a lot of coaches have not been able to in Miami, which is a culture of losing for a long time. Like I feel like when a team doesn't get over the hump for 20 something years, there's a fundamental reason for that, and Brian Flores pointed out some of those reasons on his way out the door. And so McDaniel's still going to have to overcome all that, and that's a concern, but they're going to be fun to watch.
I would just say I like the overall scenario, but McDaniel is brought into a situation where he is paired with the general manager who's been in that building forever and has the owner's ear over everyone else, and he's paired with a quarterback he didn't pick. So there are parts here that could maybe go a little ill, and I want to project it positively for you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And again, April is a wonderful time. No one has to be on the field. Everything looks beautiful. It's all on paper. I guarantee you I'll be disappointed in October, but I'm just enjoying this moment, and if you'd allow me to do that, that would be
great. I remember the first time one of the first times I was slacking a lot with Henry, I wrote an article in 2012, my first year at the NFL. I still was working in the NFL, in New York, and crowned the off-season champion. I thought it might be like a annual bit. I think I only did it once. And the Miami Dolphins were that year's off-season.
Well, that was Mike Wallace.
They followed up with Mario Williams.
A second one with Sue.
But off-season championships are so much better now. They include awesome players like Teron Armstead and Tyreek Hill and a lot more. Like, the NFL has just been different. If Dan was hosting the show, we would have moved on to the next topic.
We have got to move on.
10 minutes ago. I do want to say, though, the Jets have...
that is on my radar.
This is the only important news item. The rest of them we can go through quickly. The Jets have lost out on a lot of these little sweepstakes, and I think they've had a good offseason in terms of the guys that they've added, but I think they're disappointed with missing some big swings. Marcus Williams, this one, there's been a handful of them. And then the Chiefs' decision to trade Tyreek Hill, I think we should just talk about, because like, they're the team that matters out of these two teams over the last year. Over the last few years, they are the dominant team in the NFL right now. You know, with Patrick Mahomes, they have two overtime AFC championship losses, a Super Bowl loss, and a title in the last 4 years. And they're deciding to move on from their core piece, I would say their most important piece behind Mahomes, along with Travis Kelce. I found that really fascinating, because at some point they made the decision to move on. Yes, they were offering him a big contract and they would have been happy to keep him. I don't necessarily think it says anything about Tyreek Hill, but at some point they kind of decided, this isn't worth it for the amount we can get for Tyreek Hill. We'd actually rather get rid of him, because if they wanted to, they could have signed him to that contract and kept him, and they decided not to.
I see your point. I don't take it quite that far. I think it's not a global statement on the value of a Tyreek Hill, but you mentioned the amount of success that they've all had together. There's so much tape of the Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. Teams have built their entire roster structure in order to stop this team. I think it could be a case of the Chiefs trying to zig now that everybody else has zagged to deal with that particular offense. And we saw it the way that they covered the Chiefs, the way that they covered Tyreek Hill, perhaps.
They thought there might be diminishing returns. That's what's going into it, too. He's getting older. And they got a ton. I thought they got a totally fair value. I think it was a win for the Dolphins, but I thought the Chiefs made sense to me somehow, even though it was getting rid of Tyreek Hill, because of what they got and because of the cap situation.
Well, they're banking on Patrick Mahomes working well with whoever's in at wide receiver. That actually has not... It's not as if they've drafted guys who have already passed through the system and they didn't flourish the way that some projected. They haven't found the next Tyreek Hill when they've looked for that kind of speed. So there, I saw stuff yesterday where the football world was getting a little too excited about what the Chiefs did, in my opinion, because I like the fact that it's forward thinking, and I think it was shrewd, because if you give Tyreek Hill that money, we've seen that video game and we know it works. We know that they can dominate teams with Tyreek Hill, with Mahomes, with Kelce. You're banking on the fact that you're going to go find a crop of other receivers this offseason that can... They have to equal what Tyreek Hill gives you. There's other ways to do that. We trust Andy Reid too. But part of me just feels like this was what the Chiefs were. You're taking a major piece out of the puzzle, and good teams rebuild, reload, and they find the next Tyreek Hill. I mean, we've seen the Patriots over the years do this 100 times and sell high on a player. And then 3 years later, it's like the Dolphins made the mistake here. Tyreek Hill was good for two more seasons, and then he got disgruntled, and he's on another team.
Right. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill is hard to replace. It's one thing to say you're replacing a number one receiver, but he's one of the two or three non-quarterback best
you know, weapons, skill position guys that can score from any point on the field. There aren't many of those guys out there. So I think trying to say we're going to go draft that guy is pretty difficult.
But
they didn't mean to draft Tyreek Hill when they drafted Tyreek Hill.
They were the ones that stood by him when he was under investigation from the NFL, under investigation from authorities, and they ended up giving him another contract pretty soon after that. This was the moment they decided, okay, it's been a great partnership, but maybe now it's time to have a divorce. I find that interesting, and I think they are confident in their organization, especially offensively, that they can fill it in, that it's not about
exactly. Well, good luck to them, because as we all indicated, there's not a lot of people on the planet that can get the football anywhere on the field, and he might score. It makes the margin so slim,
right?
For
yep. But there's also not a lot of, there's almost no one on the planet that can get the ball to
anywhere on the
field. On the field for some of those big plays. It was the combination. It'll be fascinating to see the Chiefs this year. I do not like that they their odds somehow changed for the AFC West title and their Super Bowl odds changed. That's where I think it's going a little too far. We've gone too far on this topic. Let's take a quick break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now we gotta, you know, just zoom through this. Sorry to Teron Armstead, you know, like the number one guy.
He's really good. He's been really good for.
He's been really good. He's missed a lot of time, and that's the only reason why he was as relatively cheap as he was. He still got a lot of guaranteed money, but not maybe the huge, like, record-setting contract that some people expected. But that's because he's missed 5 games on average for about 5 years. So that's something they have to think about. Baker Mayfield has been in the news, but not really. It's been just about how teams aren't going after Baker Mayfield. It's almost felt like a piling on, like the Panthers kind of put it out there quickly that they weren't going to go after him. And then we got the classic reporting from my old colleague at Pro Football Talk, Aaron Wilson, who said that the Panthers and Baker had mutual disinterest in each other, which definitely felt like, this girl like doesn't like me. Well, I don't like her either. Like that, it just wasn't a great moment, I feel like, in this tough Baker Mayfield offseason. There was a report from Mary Kay Cabot that maybe the Seahawks would be in at the right price.
I feel like that's been the location that
made sense to begin with.
And if you're interested even vaguely in Baker Mayfield, you do the opposite of what the Washington Commanders did, which was, you know, panic and overpay for something that has question marks attached to it.
So
sit around
early.
And wait. Right, so early on that. Yeah. Sit and wait because the Browns are going to have to give him away. It's a salary. It's essentially like we need to get Baker Mayfield's salary off our books, And so that, you know, their ability to trade him for value is just lower and lower, and the landing spots are lower and lower, and there's a draft coming up. Why go get Baker Mayfield if you're the Seahawks,
right,
if you want to go get Malik Willis or someone else? It's like Baker Mayfield's going to have to sit and wait, I think, for a landing spot. The reason he and Jimmy G will is because invariably 3 to 4 quarterbacks, well, their bodies shattered in August, and then you can sell high.
I don't think it'll take till August.
I think it'll be the
because
draft.
I think even during the draft, but I think it could be a case of the Seahawks saying to the Browns, we'll take it, send us a pick, rather than the other way
that,
around.
See, that seems crazy to me. I also saw something that the Panthers didn't think that he was a big enough upgrade on a significant upgrade on Sam Darnold. It's like this is the organization that brought you the decisions to guarantee Sam Darnold 2 years. He is a significant upgrade on Sam Darnold. I don't necessarily buy that he's like a great idea for them. And maybe even they put it out there so that they can just offer a fifth-round pick during the draft and happily get him for cheap. But he's much. I'm pushing back on, like, let's not go too far on that. Baker's a total bum. He's an NFL quarterback. Sam Darnold is a total bum.
Well, wow. I think also
total
like
bum. Total bum. Wow.
He's one of the worst starting quarterbacks who's had his amount of starts since we've been doing this.
There's something else going on with Baker.
You give Greg an opportunity to pull back on the shifter, and he like jams it in the third gear.
I mean, it's. Are you?
No.
At this point, he should not be starting any NFL games where it's like Baker Mayfield should be starting NFL games.
Yeah. I'm totally with you.
I don't believe that Sam Darnold will be starting NFL games either, though.
I wouldn't put it past the NFL for Sam Darnold to be starting in 2022 somewhere. I do think, right, because it doesn't matter to me. I think the whole idea is pointless of like Baker Mayfield being a bad influence in the locker room. And so like you can't have him around a rookie quarterback. I don't think it's true. But I think some teams might, because these people come from a different era. And if you're going to draft a rookie quarterback, maybe they think, well, Baker's going to come in and frown, and then he's not going to be good at football anymore, which, again, is a dumb idea. Yeah. But I think some teams might believe that, as Mark said, I think.
Well, they might believe that he doesn't engender consistent goodwill from his teammates, which you want out of your quarterback.
Well, I would ask this. Like,
if he was good,
with all that's happened, how many Browns players tweeted publicly at Baker Mayfield, we love you, we support you? I'm not saying none, but it's been a whisper. And it's just like, I think the teams post OBJ and why he left and what happened with all that was about as messy as possible for Baker Mayfield, his stock has dropped as far as any quarterbacks in the league. I mean, it's kind of stunning where we were 2 weeks ago when we talked to Tony Grossi with the possibility that the Browns would go maybe be looking for a Derek Carr instead of Baker Mayfield. Instead, everything happened the way it did. And Baker Mayfield has no job right now.
I think he can repair his reputation, though, but it comes with winning.
Seattle's perfect. I just feel like if he gets there, they're going to be annoyed. Pete Carroll does not want to rebuild. There's something in me that just like believes that Pete Carroll's going to cook up these like close game win magic where the running game actually does work. And it's like no one believed in us, and Baker saying no one believed in us. And it's like they go 10-7, but it's actually above expectations. I see it.
But why would Baker needs to be somewhere where things are opened up, right? And he's not handing the ball off a lot, and he has an opportunity to spread it around. Like I don't know if that's Seattle.
Let Baker bake, you mean?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think having two talented receivers that you can, he's not going to throw the ball that much, but when he does, there's a
wasn't that the situation in Cleveland?
It actually fits in okay.
Two good receivers, not going to throw the ball that much. That was Cleveland.
Yeah. It actually fits in.
I just wonder about the plan in Cleveland when Baker was clearly injured. Not hurt, like he was clearly injured, and it was severely affecting his ability to throw the football, and he kept playing.
Never thought Claybon would just be such a Baker stick.
I'm not defending it. I'm just wondering why you continue to play him and why Case Keenum was the backup and why when your quarterback was playing objectively horrible football, you didn't find a better option for a team with players that could have contended but ultimately couldn't because the quarterback was so bad.
Yeah, that's on them. I agree with that. I've been very critical of the Patriots offseason in general. It's just like bringing back all your old favorites, James White and Matthew Slater, who I love, but nothing other than that. But I got to say, all that criticism is over now because Malcolm Butler is back on the Patriots. 2-year deal. One of my favorite players in NFL history, certainly Patriots history, and has had ups and downs in his career, made a lot of money, personal problems. And I'm not even joking here. I am so happy that Malcolm Butler is back with the Patriots that I don't care about the rest. They can go 6-11. I would like to have been a
fly on the wall with that in that meeting with Belichick, where it's like, well, let's go back over what happened on that in that Super Bowl where you refused to play me.
Wasn't it Matt Patricia that he had the beef with?
Yes. Who's also back there.
Matt Patricia's deeply ensconced in the procedure at this point. He's right. In the program.
Yeah, and he left, and he since had beef with more people. And so I wonder if they've both grown after the pre-Super Bowl incident.
I hope so.
And
Belichick will probably be asked that question again. But
can he still play?
And Malcolm Butler was a sweet guy. And what happened with him from where he came from and what he turned his career into, where he was really good on the Titans for seasons. He was up and down, but he had pretty high moments. And he's had ups and downs, and he had some pretty serious sounding personal issues that prevented him from playing football a year ago. So I love this story. I'm glad he's back. And I don't know. My Walker was such a big J.C. Jackson fan. Maybe I'll get him a Malcolm Butler shirt because I'm a big fan. And it's got to work out. He's their number one cornerback now, by the way. He really might be. I'm not joking.
But if I told you in December, that would be where we were in middle March. All right, do you think the Patriots have had a good offseason?
I think they're going to continue to add players. Because, as I've mentioned on this show,
I mean, they gave away Shaq Mason for like a bag of spoons. I found that head scratcher.
That was insane.
But I don't know.
Their top outside corners are Jalen Mills and Malcolm Butler right now. I think they're going to continue to add a lot of players, and there are a lot of players available. Around 40 guys from the 101 still available, and plenty of other like professionals that are not on the 101.
They can also keep giving away players because that seems to be part of the plan.
Spoons don't even match either. They're from different sets, and so you just put them in a bag and threw them in the
Some
cabinet.
Are used.
All right, finally in the news, surprising news this morning that a Texas grand jury is considering another charge against Deshaun Watson. This came as a big surprise because Deshaun Watson's lawyer said, quote, the criminal investigations have been completed. So that was plural investigations, said completed, when he released a public statement on this story when the grand jury in Harris County declined to bring charges, and that was now almost 2 weeks ago. We thought that was it. There's been reporting since that the Browns were aware of this. I don't know. I call into question a lot of the reporting that's happened around Deshaun Watson just because we've now seen that it's been proven to be false. I don't think it even matters whether they knew it or not, but this is another thing now that he's a member of the Browns that is sort of part of the experience with Deshaun Watson. It was a 10th criminal complaint. It is one of the women that is also part of the 22 civil allegations. She told police that Watson ejaculated on her during a massage appointment. And they're expected to deliberate and issue a decision Thursday or Friday. Deshaun Watson was expected to meet with the media on Friday. And that was the first thing I thought was, will Deshaun Watson still be meeting with the media on Friday?
I mean, it's technically because I was like, wait, there's another grand jury. Because, I mean, I'm not, you know, legal stuff sometimes.
Understand this all fully, and it was very confusing.
Right. It happened in a different county, this particular. That's why it is a separate grand jury. I also question, did the Browns or whoever, the Saints or the Falcons, know this was going to come up this week and at the timing that it has? I mean, there's more to be seen with Deshaun Watson. The other side of all this is that no matter what happens here, the NFL, still in the middle of their investigation, deciding what to do with Deshaun Watson, could put him in the commissioner's list, and he could not play all next season if that's what they felt comfortable with at their findings. I mean, it is the team that went and got him. You're taking on a big risk in terms of availability. You could see a lot of Jacoby Brissett next season.
I just don't understand how the Browns go. How this happens a week after he signs with them, and how the Browns didn't know that this was coming, because clearly, again, they weren't expecting 1 week into their relationship with him for this to
They're saying they did know about it.
Well, they aren't saying anything publicly, and neither is Deshaun Watson's lawyers, which I think is, at least for now, telling. But there was reporting where Brown's sources, according to ESPN at least is one place I saw that that they said they were aware of it.
Well, hopefully in they're going through this process independent of everything else that takes place, right? They've made a decision to have Deshaun Watson be their quarterback. And now, from the league standpoint, from the Browns standpoint, from every team's standpoint, I think you just prioritize a way to have a conversation around sexual violence and sexual assault, right? And how to prevent this in the future, and not necessarily prioritizing PR or like, oh, well, we did this. And like, he's on the team now. How do you go forward? How do you address this?
Well, how do you address it when he, if he is still pushing back as publicly in terms of that he hadn't done anything wrong?
It's the truth has come out.
Yeah. And so that's up to them to determine, like, and not just, it's not just a Browns priority. It should be a league-wide priority. And how do we approach this discussion around sexual violence and sexual assault?
Yeah.
Well, and I think the league, or at least portions of the league, showed us what their priority was last week.
Right. And it just is sort of coming with this trade. And I think, you know, Browns fans are already annoyed about it and upset about it because it's just so awkward that they can't talk about, in the same way, bringing a franchise-changing talent to their organization in the same way that they would want to. I saw this article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer last night that Bernie Kosar and the second-year cornerback on the Greg Newsom were at like a charity function, a celebration of the Browns, and so they were talking to fans, and it was like this event, and like Bernie Kosar and Greg Newsom did not know how to talk about it. Didn't really want to talk about it, and they were just like, well, we're not comfortable talking about that right now. And Newsom said, even as an answer to a question, like, is everyone fired up? And his answer was just like, well, we were fired up about the team we had, and he adds to it. And it's just that is part of what you're buying as part of this. And when you have a press conference scheduled for Friday, and it's the day that this could be coming out, it's just like, here we go. That's just part of the equation.
No, right. You have to have some sort of organizational plan, not just in terms of this, but really in everything. You would like to see this is the strategy. This is how we're going to approach this. These are the people we're prioritizing in this conversation, and this is the result that we would like to get. But it seems like last minute adjusting to the news of yesterday constantly, and like statements, and that's. Who knows?
Right. And we're sick of talking about it. The next segment on this show is almost directly related to Deshaun Watson. Like it's not like we want to be scolds, and like this is why we got into, you know, talking about football, is like we want to talk about this. It's like, no, he and the Browns and just the news of the day has given us no choice but to talk about it. I didn't think we would be talking about it today, but before we move on to that segment, which by the way I should have mentioned at the top, Mark and Claybon titled it "I'm f***ing excited to talk about." So, sorry, Ricky.
It's a great title.
That's where we're going.
She shakes her head.
We're just going to have to.
She's like an extra 12 minutes. An extra 24 minutes, an extra 48 minutes.
Do we need another break in the show, Erica, or should we just go right to the segment? Let's go to the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I am excited about this segment. I am excited that Mark and Claybon have entitled it "Shit I'm f***ing excited about," because it's been a darker week than it should have been over the last 2 weeks in the NFL, considering that we have gotten the best trade tsunami in NFL history years after the original trade tsunami. It really arrived en masse. The NFL is now matching the NBA trade for trade in terms of big-time players. It makes NFL Now more entertaining. It makes these podcasts more entertaining. It makes my life better. And so I've been excited about that. And it also makes looking ahead to the 2022 season more exciting, because now we can start thinking about these teams. So we wanted to get off all the doom and gloom and get to, like, what's going to bring us joy, what we're going to be f***ing excited about. Let's start with Henry. How about you?
Okay, I'll tell you some I'm f***ing excited about, Greg. And I know that we started the show talking about this Dolphins high-powered offense, but I'm going to continue, and we don't need to dwell on it because we already did, but I am f***ing excited to watch that Dolphins offense, how it's going to be able to attack the field, how Mike McDaniel, this guy who, you know, they had a round of introductions of free agents last week, and they referred to him as a mastermind, a genius, a mega brain or something like that. How he's going to use all these new pieces to attack the field, to attack teams, and just to, again, I started with this, but just to make the team exciting to watch. It's been like, you know, like punishment of some kind. Like on Sunday, I get excited about watching football.
What about that game where Brian Flores, I think, had, you know, cooked up 7 pick sixes against Jared.
That's exciting, but I like it when that happens with the ball. That's kind of more easy to
predict. What about Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, running off the field with someone
shirtless
on his back? No, it's just like, you know,
it's fun.
The Patriots.
It's fun, but those are moments that you've pulled out because those are actually like high points. I'm talking about just like on a consistent basis being like, oh, wow, they've got the ball. I'm excited to watch this rather than I'll probably just make a cup of
coffee.
What about the game-winning touchdown from Cleo Lemon to Greg Maria?
I know all of these things. I know about those moments.
What are we attempting to do? Henry's not going to come around on this.
Hank wants blowouts.
I'm trying to get excited about it.
Hank would like to just tweet through a blowout. Like, think about like Lamar blowing out the Dolphins a couple of years ago.
Offense is more fun.
He would like to not be worried about the outcome of the game at all and just enjoy watching football.
I agree with like the basic football fans' feeling that offense is more exciting, more points is more exciting, more points, more rules that make more points is great, and I've never gotten sick of that. So I can imagine as a Dolphins fan, it's been a tough couple months. What are you excited about, Claybon?
I'm excited about some of these edge rushers changing spots and getting to places where they can affect the quarterback. I love the Buffalo Bills and Von Miller. I like it when older players generate excitement in new fan bases, especially after Matt Ryan catches a whole bunch of shade and it's like, we're all older than Matt Ryan. Like, what are you saying about all of us? But in like a sneaky part of things is Josh Allen has had so much of a burden in the run game in these past couple of years, and now Roger Saffold and OJ Howard come over. And I think they can impact the game. Brian Daboll leaves. I think the Bills will be able to run the ball. And like, sorry, Hank.
I wish they had gotten J.D. McKissick, but
well, they got Duke Johnson.
I like McKissick more, but they needed to do something there, so that worked.
Yeah, it puts a team that has been a contender in a different light. And there's change there. There's just change within all of these contenders, and that's what gets me excited. Where it's different. But it's also the same, and we can kind of see the evolution of things, and I'm excited about it.
Buffalo was my number one thing. I was going to have you go next, but since it's just jumping off of you, I'm with you that I like when superpowers who know how to do things change up just enough, and I think they have. Like, their moves have been so smart. Jamison Crowder replacing Cole Beasley, love it. You give Isaiah McKenzie some money, like that. Saffold with the run game. You mentioned Vaughn. I like Duke Johnson. I like, as much as Brian Daboll was great and they'll probably miss him, I just am excited to see a slightly different version of this Bills offense with these new pieces and Josh Allen. Like, what is next for him? I guess I'm stuck on those two playoff games being like two best games I've ever seen from a quarterback, and what's going to be next and what they do. So this Bills team, I think, has just been so smart with how they are trying to stay at the top, because they really have been at the top now for a few years. And going into the season, to me, they are the AFC favorites, as good as the rest of the AFC looks and as exciting as it is. And the AFC East, I think, will be better than it's been in a while. Like, to me, the Bills are the favorites, and I'm excited about the moves that they mixed it up. Gabriel Davis stepping up too.
Yeah, the Dolphins adding Tyreek Hill and in general, like, believing in their coach and everything you talked about makes that division much more interesting than it was a season ago. I mean, it's just sort of a trash heap for most of last year.
And the Bills are, I mean, I agree with you guys both. I'm excited about the Bills even as a Dolphins fan, because that's a fun team to watch. And again, it's supposed to be fun.
People will not expect much from the Patriots now, which I like. That's where they've generally done their best work.
I'm also excited about the okie doke from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have somehow mind tricked the entire planet into thinking that they're okay with Mitchell Trubisky starting all of the games.
I do like that. I like that a lot. There's got to be another chip to fall there.
What do you think it is? Malik Willis or a rookie? I think it's a rookie.
It's not Mitchell Trubisky for all of 2022.
I think it's a rookie.
I totally think they have to be. You'd be crazy to think that you're going to satisfy your fan base with the current plan.
Wasn't it Mitchell Trubisky? Wasn't Mike Glennon thought he was the Bears quarterback, was at the Bears draft party being celebrated as Mitchell Trubisky got drafted?
Bingo.
Isn't that going to happen again now with Mitchell Trubisky at the Steelers draft party when they draft?
Don't go to these parties if you're these guys.
Don't go to a party.
The difference is the Bears gave Mike Glennon $17 million for absolutely no reason.
What do you got, Mark?
Well, I know. Some of the shit that we're f***ing excited about is like generally positive, but I do think that there is one more chapter of immense potential drama at the quarterback position, and I'm not going to let this go until I hear otherwise. And it would have to come through a massive new contract, which I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are convinced they need to give Kyler Murray right now. And I'm just saying, if you get to that part where these sides cannot hang together, because Kyler Murray even just during this show tweeted out saying, basically, I've done nothing but give my all to the Cardinals. Ooh. And will continue to do that. I'm not really too worried about my future as a Cardinal, saying that he would just let his agent handle all the money thing. That's cool. Does that really quell anything for me? Not at all. I think this is a massive holdout potential right here. And maybe
you're looking forward to that?
Kind of.
Well, yeah. Well, that was
kind of. It's like the last chapter to the most mad offseason of time.
It was actually going to be some more shit I was f***ing excited about, Mark, because I think next,
you don't have to
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, those stories have now ended, and that was like stuff that had been building up over the last 12, 18 months. We're into a new round. I think you've hit Kyler. I think Lamar Jackson is coming up to be a free agent next year. I think there's going to be a whole nother round of people who are going to be dissatisfied, disgruntled, and we're going to spend, I know this annoys you, but we're going to spend the next 12 months talking about where they end up or what their futures might hold.
But what
it's an what, exciting time.
But the difference with Kyler and Lamar or any of those other ones is Kyler's already put out a statement that essentially I read as, I won't play without a new contract. And this is a team that's seemingly put out some bad stuff about Kyler. And yeah, it's very confusing. I don't know where it goes, though, because I just can't.
But it's going to go somewhere ugly. I think.
At least we know the Cardinals have made an offer to Kyler Murray, and there's been some response there. I don't even know if the Ravens have made an offer to Lamar.
No, there was a report, or actually, I think they said it publicly. The reporting was it was close to 35 a year, and that the Ravens have said, we've been waiting for Lamar to engage, and when Lamar really wants to engage, he will. And there's
agent?
If you're waiting for him to engage and you've made an offer, then the answer was no. Then he's already engaged with the offer.
He seems pretty chill about it.
It's weird for the team to imply that Lamar is like sitting there playing Call of Duty or Elden Ring or something.
That's
and he's
Murray.
Like leaving
That's
them.
Murray that they imply is always playing video games.
But it's like
he really is, though. I followed it on Instagram, and he is playing a lot.
It's like, we'll engage at Lamar's pace. If you've made an offer and he doesn't like it, then that's negotiation.
Yeah. Well, the conventional
make another offer.
The behind the scenes belief, and I don't know how anyone can really get this information because Lamar's representing himself, but the belief, at least from Jason Lockenfor at CBS, who's usually tied in with the Ravens, is that Lamar wants to play it out. That at least he sees that as a really viable option. And I totally get that. I think it's very risky, but he's going to make $19 million this year, which is way more than he's made in his any other year. Certainly, it's certainly enough to live off for the rest of your life, and you want to make money. But if you believe in yourself like Lamar Jackson does, he thinks that going the Kirk Cousins route, getting to the tag, maybe even doing the tag twice, which, by the way, is going to be about the same guaranteed money for 2 years as you're going to get in your first 2 years of a long-term deal, is the way to go. Because the only way to have the most power and most money that any quarterback has ever had in the history of football will be to go that route.
I mean, Kirk Cousins has like $200 million.
Right.
Like,
Cousins is the example because he's kind of gotten there. He's made as much or more money than almost any quarterback in the last 7 years, and that's Kirk Cousins. Imagine you do that if you're Lamar.
Yeah. If Eric DaCosta would like to prevent that, then he could probably make a better offer.
He could. I think what you're saying, and I think it's fair, is that the Ravens might look at that and be like, bet. Like, okay, we'll do that, and we'll just like,
Isn't it different than obviously the Josh Allen situation where the organization is totally hell bent on re-signing him?
Yeah. It's like, this doesn't get me excited about. This is not the stuff that gives me joy, though. Contract.
Sorry.
Really? All right. Well. Sorry.
All right. Well. How about? I'm showing my Patriots homerism, but I really do like the idea of Josh McDaniels running this Raiders offense, and I think it's gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit weirdly because McDaniels has been below the radar, I guess, just in terms of like big stories, in terms of what his impact's going to be.
Well, he hasn't left the team yet, I guess.
But it's going to be a totally different offense. I mean, he's very, very different from John Gruden. He's certainly different from Greg Olsen, other guys Derek Carr has worked with. I think he's a really good game planner. I think he does a good job of not putting players in position to do things they don't do well. I think he deserves not a lot of credit for Tom Brady's success, but some for the way that they approach things and the way Mac Jones got into the league. And I just look at these guys that they have. Devontae Adams is as impressive a dude, like listening to him at a press conference, as there can possibly be. Derek Carr is an impressive guy. He's very intelligent. Darren Waller is an impressive guy. Hunter Renfro. All these guys to me just like scream football smart and real life smart. And I think Josh McDaniels is a great coach for them. And I just think they're going to be more fun to watch as an offense, and they're going to be dynamic. And I think McDaniels is a key part to that, helping those guys maximize what they do. And I think like the Raiders are going to be a primetime team that I'm more excited to watch than the last few years, where it's just like, okay, I don't hate it. They're not the Giants, but I'm not excited. It's mostly about me and the primetime games, and I think the Raiders are going to deliver because of Josh.
Well,
but he's going to be part of it.
Does that mean the AFC West gets more primetime games with all those additions than the NFC East this season?
No.
That is a coin toss with the way this operates.
We hope. We're going to see more Carson Wentz.
The North is going to get a lot because the North is hot right now for sure. If the Bengals are the third favorites in Vegas, like that's a spicy division. People are giving up on the Steelers too quick, too. That's a hot division. But I think the AFC West, number one along with the AFC.
I mean, but to your point, Henry, like they're not even looking at what makes sense. It's like it's the NFC East.
The
NFC. Just block them out for 27
teams
games.
To me. Like more that's commodities. What I want to watch.
Well, I have the Nielsen box data from 2007, and so this means the game's more exciting.
I think Chandler Jones makes that more exciting
to
me.
That's exciting too.
Because we've seen a good Raiders offense, but then there's been a sieve
but
on the other side.
Okay, but here's how they were good, is by getting 3rd and 3 over and over on 6-minute 84-yard drives that they either get a field goal or like they get the 4th try of Josh Jacobs on 3rd and goal. Like that, they haven't been exciting. I think they could be exciting. Herbert's exciting. The Chiefs are exciting. Who am I forgetting? And the Broncos Russell Wilson. Like, that's offense.
I mean, the Broncos have Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, which I think he was going to be one of mine, because it's like that. This could go really, really well, but you're also in the AFC West, and all these AFC West teams have to go play the NFC West. So it's going to be Russell Wilson with his new team versus all his old friends and foes and former team, which I love.
Good.
I think Nathaniel Hackett, as much as I find him totally delightful whenever he speaks, I also want to see how does he respond? because he seems like such a almost childlike, bubbly individual. Like, what if they're 1-4 and things are going poorly? Do you get a different, darker version of Hackett that is equally quotable? So, I mean, these are things that I am genuinely excited about.
Dark Hackett.
He does seem like the like super excited head coach where the losing maybe takes a toll on him. Like,
right. Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be like full Adam Gase.
That would be sad.
But that would be sad.
Full Gase.
You'd feel you never for him because Gase. He's such a positive seeming individual.
You would feel for him as long as he handles it in the right way.
Like, I'm trying to think of some coaches that have been like that. Dave McGinnis. I don't know if you remember him as a head
Cardinals.
Coach. Just like a happy guy. That
How about like Pete Carroll his first time around? And he
Dennis
was so
Green,
nice, you know?
Dennis Green when it started going dark in each one of his places. Mm-hmm. Like, that man didn't want to be unhappy, but you made him unhappy.
My friend Tomsula.
Yeah, that was it.
A nice man,
yeah. Happy man. Sadly, things didn't work out.
Claybon, anything else that's going to bring you some joy? I'm giving like the PG title of this.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to give Eric any more work. Just guys coming back. Even Baker. The injury rate in this league is so high. And there's always, whenever you talk about, people always want you to give a caveat. Well, if they stay healthy, it's literally an aspect of the human condition. Like, we could use that caveat for everybody. So, like, even somebody like Jaylen Waddle, right, who was 8 months off of a broken ankle last year. Like, he gets a full healthy offseason. I'm thinking about all the guys that were out. I'm excited for hurt guys to come back and get an opportunity, some of them with new teams. So I'm excited about that.
I'm going to throw out the second-year quarterbacks. Just generally, like, that this was as hyped up a draft class of quarterbacks as there'd been in a while. And as rookies, you know, maybe they didn't get everyone as excited as you thought you would be, other than Mac Jones, who I think probably overperformed in terms of expectations. But I'm excited about year two Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones can get better. Justin Fields is a name, and the Bears are a team that we just haven't said in 2 months. Like, I'm nervous a little bit about the offensive staff and the talent that they have around him, but I'm excited to watch Justin Fields play a full season of football, and especially after that Urban Meyer story the last week, I'm excited to watch Trevor Lawrence play with like a legitimate head coach. These were guys we were thrilled about. They should be better in this next season. It's a league fully about quarterbacks, and like I am excited about that.
I am also piggybacking on that, excited that there's no group of young men that have to operate at the behest of Urban Meyer this year.
Right.
Anywhere on earth. That.
Nowhere.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, guess what? You might perform better if your coach doesn't ditch the plane home to bump and grind a waitress at the steakhouse he owns. Possible.
All right. I think that was a lot of things. Do we have any?
I've got one more, okay. If I can, Greg.
Yeah,
I am very excited.
Mark's got a lot highlighted, actually, so I wanted to rip through.
No, I actually, there must be some group think going on here because I had some that you also mentioned. Okay. So,
well, I'll throw one more out there. Sorry, Mark, to jump into yours. There are 5 international games this year being played in London, in Mexico City, and then for the first time in Germany, in Munich. And in the past, you know, obviously fans have shown up to those games, had an amazing time. You guys have had the chance to be there. Patrick, one day we hope you would be able to join us as
hey.
Well.
Uh-oh. You know, breaking news.
Please, send Claybon to Germany with us.
Exactly. Full stadiums of excited fans. But you could probably say that the product on the field wasn't, you know, quite as exciting as it could be. The teams in London, the Packers, who are coming for the first time to London, the Saints, a Jacksonville Jaguars team without Urban Meyer, in Mexico City, the Arizona Cardinals, and then in Munich, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Good teams. Mm-hmm.
I've been allowed to be part of the conversations around those matchups as well. There are some exciting games heading internationally.
You impacted that heavily.
Can you give like a little hint?
I can't.
And around the NFL,
I can't
exclusive.
Because I don't know what it for sure will happen, and I would hate to lead people in the wrong direction. But what I can say without any anything where I'm not being transparent. Those are exciting. There are going to be some really exciting international matchups.
And we're starting the campaign. Send. Around the NFL, including Claybon, you have to include all of that in the hashtag to Germany.
That's evolved because last week it was send Greg to Germany, very specifically.
That's not true. We talked about it.
It was all about Greg's background.
I thought that was a good hook. Look, I know they're not sending me without the team, and I wouldn't want that anyways. But yes, am a first generation German descendant. So my family was there for hundreds of years. It really is a connection here. You said you and Wes had family back in Germany.
The name Sessler is German and comes from
Sesselberg. And there's a place called Wesseling.
Right. There's a place called, exactly.
So it's just like, maybe we could do a live show from Wesseling. I feel like
that's a great idea.
Let's do all this. And before we go, though, I do want, Mark, you to do the one about Ewan McGregor that is in orange highlighter.
We didn't stray. Greg, that is green, by the way. I know you're a bit colorblind. Color is green, but I appreciate that.
I'm colorblind. Because you send out these Instagram stories, a lot of Ewan McGregor, a lot of Nicole Kidman. I want to hear what you're excited about.
I think Ewan McGregor is one of the... For me, he is like my top one or two or three actors ever. And he's playing Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's a bit of a nerdy thing, but I thought he was done wrong. Clavon, I don't know, in those prequels, he was done wrong. And he's coming back now in a thing where apparently, you know, competent people wrote the story. And he, the only thing I find strange is that Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan like a solid 12 years after this version of Ewan McGregor, looks 27 years older than you. Ewan McGregor is like, it's like a Top Gun, the sequel doesn't work because like he's Top Gun, it's like Tom Cruise still looks 37 and Kelly McGinnis from the first one looks 72 in real life. So it's like they had to recast the whole thing. Anyways, it's accurate.
McGinnis taking fire in a big spot.
I think maybe it's just hair and styling has probably changed a little bit. But I am excited because I've always said the prequels, which I love, and people are starting to appreciate the prequels even more, I think, now.
Not myself, but other people are, yes.
even more.
But they've always, the dialogue was like a Wikipedia article about Star Wars lore, which, of course, I would read, but now we get, Ewan has a chance with some better dialogue, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
He deserves it.
I bumped into Ewan McGregor on a hike in Topanga a couple of years ago.
You've got to be kidding
this guy!
And I didn't say anything to him, but we were on a very narrow path, and I was like, oh, here comes Ewan McGregor.
He nodded and was like, Hank?
Yeah, we nodded. We nodded at each other. That was it. I think I said good morning.
I've known you for like a decade, and you've never told me that story?
I mean, it's not a very good story.
It's an
excellent story.
Really?
It's like my favorite thing you've ever told me.
Okay.
Did you look at him and think, okay, top three Mark actors? You
know, at that point, Mark posted less often about Ewan McGregor.
Known for his looks, but then you looked at him and you thought, like, I'm taller and better looking than him.
No, I didn't.
You didn't think that?
I'd bumped into Winslet or DiCaprio, I would have made reference to Mark. But
all right, we're making headway.
Were you elevated at the time? Did you have a chance to like tell him that you had the high ground or something? Because
no, I don't. We were like it was a very narrow path, and we had to squeeze.
I think of
past
him as short-ish, maybe not short, but definitely Henry has got to be taller.
I was taller than him, but I didn't notice whether he was short or not.
Well, this is more Star Wars and Ewan McGregor talk than Dan would have allowed. If
he by the way, I'll tell you something about Dan. About 8 minutes before the show, I got like a string of, this is typically a Greg move, but a string of butt dials from Dan where I thought he was like trying to reach me, and I kept putting the phone on speaker, and it was like clearly sounds from Disneyland where he is. I could hear like rides or something in the background, but it's like, are you all right, Dan? Are you all right at Disney World? We don't know. Communication went totally dark.
All right. Before we go, I just saw a Slack from Erica from 15 minutes ago. And I just wouldn't feel right before giving her a chance to talk about some shit she's fucking excited about.
Wow, thank you. it was Broncos related, but Mark took it, so we're definitely feeling the same way. I couldn't think of a team last season that I was less interested in watching, and the Broncos was that team in it. You think about, you know, the Commanders, there's some other teams, but for some reason for me, the Broncos were the last. They were 32 of 32 that I would want to watch.
They were in the middle. I mean, I had a certain interest in them.
But, I loved all, you know, their receiving core and everything. I just could not get behind it with the quarterbacks and the Fangio experience and everything. So I'm really excited to watch them this year with Russell Wilson, like Mark said, with a new head coach and experience. We're not dealing with the quarterback shuffle, and like to really see this team become interesting.
Yeah. Good, fun young talent. I'm with you in terms of.
I thought that paired very well with my comments. You did it. Together, very complimentary.
And Fangio hasn't quite taken, you know, an Urban Meyer level, you know, shots from The Athletic, but there have been a handful of comments from former defensive players who said that Vic Fangio's way of dealing with younger athletes maybe didn't match up with the type of respect that they would and should be afforded.
That lines up as stunning news to us.
Young professionals. It sounds like the defensive players who are pretty good and didn't exactly max out their talent weren't exactly loving the Fangio experience. So maybe they won't miss him too much. I will miss all you guys. What a fun show. Sorry for making you beep out all that work there, Erica.
No, it's cool. It was a fun segment.
But
it was a great
I think
idea.
We're going to be bringing back shit we're fucking excited to talk about one more time. We do have the Around the NFL broadcast on Friday. Check that out. It's going to be Mark, Colleen, and I. And that's on NFL Network, I believe, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And there's some re-airs unless gigantic news blows up the show like it did a week ago. Then you don't get the re-airs.
People like did not see ago. Our final, incredible final E and F block segments
that's
from
true.
The last
really?
Broadcast.
Well, yeah, the lost
we were
E and F
yeah,
block.
We were 40 minutes into our show when the Deshaun Watson news broke, and that's fine. I don't know if they were our best work, to be honest.
No, it dragged. Wasn't a great episode.
They can't be all home runs. They really can't. This was fun, though. This was one of our best.
Heck yeah.
Good. We miss Dan. He will be back on Monday. Until then, this has been a thin slice of heaven. For Mark Sessler, Handsome Hank, Patrick Claibon, see you Monday. Please heed that call.
Shout out to you, Shaq.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.